Well, hello and welcome to the last in our mini series of podcast previewing presentations that are going to be happening at our upcoming TV and video conference in Nice. I'm Richard Marks, ASI's Research Director, and today we welcome to the podcast Ed Whale, who's VP Europe of LG Ad Solutions. Welcome to the podcast, Ed.
Thanks, Rich. Good to be here.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about LG Ads and your role within the company?
Sure, yeah. So LG Ad Solutions is a newly formed company. We've been in operation about a year and a half now. And it follows a kind of majority stake investment from LG Electronics in a company called Alphonso, who had been a TV data and analytics company that had worked for many years actually with LG prior to the investment. And that investment and the creation of LG Ad Solutions really marks a, I guess, a shift in strategy towards a more deliberate kind of ads business, and an in-housing really of kind of monetization, inventory, and data technology on the part of LG. So we are a startup business, but very much a startup within, a household name, multinational kind of leading smart TV manufacturer. So it's an exciting space to be in. And my role within the company, I joined just a couple of months ago to lead our efforts in the European region and build out a commercial organization to support our growing customer base.
I definitely come across the name Alphonso at various conferences over the last 4 or 5 years or so. So
Yeah.
that's useful background.
Yeah, I
And
think
you
also, if I may, I guess the sort of heritage of Alphonso in TV data and analytics is really going to stand us in good stead as we roll out some of the data products as well that comprise, I guess, our offering.
Now your paper is being covered in the advertising session, appropriately enough, given your role and job title at the ASI this year. So we're not going to be doing a methodological deep dive or anything, but just to clarify before we dive in, we're going to be talking about a lot about smart TV data, but can you clarify exactly where that data comes from at a very top line level? How you gather that data that then has all these advertising opportunities we're going to talk about?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as you pointed out, we're going to go into, I guess, more depth during the paper. But just to take, I guess, a couple of steps back as well to talk about some of the higher level trends that we're seeing in the market. I mean, I think there's two key drivers here for the background to really the value that OEM data can provide. So the first is smart TV adoption, right? We're seeing essentially, penetration of smart TVs and households across key media markets like the US and of course across Europe as well reach significantly high levels, right? So the primary device now for viewing TV content, regardless of that delivery mechanism, be that free to air or streaming applications, is via a smart TV. And the second kind of key trend within that that we're seeing is a general, generalized shift from linear kind of style of delivery, broadcast one to many signal, to streaming-based viewing. And I guess we'll talk about definitions of what streaming is supposed to be, but what we really understand that to be is, content delivered over the public internet. So, we have a fragmentation and we're in this sort of transitional phase at the moment, which presents a real challenge for, I think, brands to understand how to navigate that. And I think that's where OEM data stands to bring a lot of value to the market. So, I think at a high level, obviously, there's a number of different facets to the data that we're able to bring to market, but one of those is ACR. We recently announced the rollout of our ACR technology across 27 markets internationally. And that is that's a big development obviously in our
And then just to clarify what you mean by ACR data, well, what exactly is that?
yeah, so ACR stands for Automatic Content Recognition. And essentially what that comprises, without wanting to oversimplify too much, is a two-stage process. So the first stage is indexing content, right? So ingesting content from multiple feeds, and that content can be commercial content, also can be advertising content. And based on, picture analysis and other metadata, we're able to create an anonymized digital signature for content and house that within a catalog, a database. Once we have software, I think, obviously deployed and fully opted in at the device level, we're then able to understand at runtime, what content is played out on the glass and essentially seek a match to, that anonymous digital signature that we previously cataloged, right? So this is essentially bringing, I think, what linear TV has stood to benefit from, which is, converting a one-to-many signal into, or rather bringing the capability of, device level and household level measurement and activation to the one-to-many medium of linear TV.
So effectively, that means anything going through an LG set, whether it's your content or someone else's, you're able to at least identify.
That's right, yes, provided the software has been deployed and opted into, correct.
Which is what's getting measurement people so excited about the concept of connected TVs, because as we move more towards IP delivery, it raises the question of whether you need things like people meters attached to TV, smart TVs, or whether the technology is inside. So it's definitely going to be a lot of interest in your presence and paper at the conference. So can you talk a bit more? You mentioned the rollout of the technology globally. What about, do you think, the main advantages smart TVs are able to bring to the TV advertising market? What are the main opportunities that are there?
There are a number of use cases. Obviously, I think the one that's perhaps gaining most traction and that's most interesting, given the trends that we were speaking to around, linear transition to streaming, is managing reach and frequency at a more granular level between your linear TV deployment and your streaming deployment. And so that's a key tenet of what ACR brings. But of course, there are multiple other opportunities as well, which we'll dive into in the session.
Now, the other thing that's very connected to, if you forgive the puns, connected TVs, the discussion around them is the acronym FAST, FAST, free ad-supported television. How would you differentiate those services that are offered primarily by the set manufacturers themselves, but also other companies? How would you differentiate those from sort of more standard AVOD services that have been available OTT for a while?
Yes, the definitions question is a great one, and I think it's a shifting sands, isn't it? I read somewhere actually recently in a report that explainer documents that are being put together by agencies really only stand for 6 months before they have to then be updated again to be relevant and representative of what's happening in the market. Just to kind of run through how I perceive things, it's really you have AVOD, advertising video on demand. You have BVOD, broadcaster video on demand. We've got the SVODs, obviously, subscription video on demand, and also a term CTV, which frankly, in my view, should encompass all of those things. Throw in FAST into the mix, and we have yet another acronym to try to make sense of. FAST obviously standing for free ad-supported streaming television. The reality is that all of these are blending into a single term at present moment, right? We've got the SVODs launching advertising supported tiers. We have AVOD applications incorporating linear-like channel services into their service as well. So not just video on demand, but also a selection of channels. And that's really how we define FAST, right? It's a linear-like experience, scheduled content, but delivered over an IP instead of a one-to-many broadcast signal. But the reality is that we have AVOD applications that have video on demand that are also incorporating FAST channels. We have SVODs bringing in advertising supported tiers. So some of these terms, you know, again, they're pretty ephemeral and they last for only a sort of, you know, short space of time before you have to reevaluate and look at the market again. But, you know, I think the key differentiator for FAST is the linear-like experience. And obviously, in the case of smart TV manufacturers, those FAST services are really deeply ingrained within the operating system of the TV itself, and, you know, integrated also into the EPG of the TV, as opposed to being within a standalone application. So that's another differentiator to think about.
So when people talk about generally about connected TV as a medium, and I see some projections around, you know, quite dramatic projections around the increase in ad revenue for CTV over the next, you know, 4 to 5 years. What do you think primarily they are defining CTV as? In term, are they talking about everything potentially delivered via a CTV, or do you think that is more weighted towards things like the things you can only do on a fast TV, like EPGs and fast services?
Oh, it's difficult to say, Richard, to be honest, because I think, you know, as I said, the terms are confusing. But what I would say is the most helpful use of the term CTV is that it should now encompass, you know, advertising opportunities via streaming applications, be that SVODs introducing ad tiers, BVOD, which is frankly another form of CTV, AVOD, you know, applications which are growing in popularity, and FASTs, right? So anything, frankly, delivered over the public internet should, in my view, be defined as CTV.
Do you, I don't know, I mean, it may be something you can't really project about, but there's a lot of debate about television's IP future and the point at which broadcast will effectively cease to be anything other than a backup medium for, you know, rural areas and developing countries. Do you envisage a time when LG may be making TVs that effectively are only IP enabled? I mean, how is that a future that you think is near, or this is more relevance to our measurement friends who are trying to work out, you know, how much longer we're going to have to worry about broadcast television, as opposed to, as you say, moving from the one to many to the one to one type distribution, and the implications that's got for things like addressable advertising, of course.
Look, I think it's been a dramatic shift, and it's been a dramatic shift over recent years. But and what I mean by that is the shift from, I guess, linear to streaming, and the emergence of streaming is a fairly new phenomenon, I think, comparatively to the history of TV. You know, we did a lot of work at this in my prior role, and actually at LG, we were able, and we will be bringing more insight to where we are at in terms of that transition from linear viewing to streaming. It is a patchwork across different markets. I think the general direction of travel is towards streaming and IP-enabled services, but we're not there yet. I still see a huge chunk of viewing coming through free-to-air, and certainly in certain markets across Europe, that number is even higher. So I think we still have a long way to go. And I think also FAST is, you know, potentially a new form, right, of linear TV. It's just, you know, it's scheduled content. You know, you turn on your TV and you see what's on. I think there's always going to be a place for that type of viewing as well, versus scrolling through libraries and libraries of content trying to find something to watch. So will the delivery mechanism change to IP enabled? Yes, I believe it will. But I think we've got a good amount of time left before that really becomes an eventuality.
A lot of the advertising agencies are really excited about connected TV at the moment. It's probably, you know, one of the number one things that are talked about in terms of new advertising opportunities. To a certain degree, though, that can be tempered a bit by concerns about yet more walled gardens, that there are big opportunities, but equally there are different set manufacturers, in the same way there were different cable and satellite box manufacturers back in the days when we had were more likely to use digiboxes. Do you envisage a future in which there's going to be more interoperability and those systems speaking to each other to make advertisers' lives easier, or are they likely to remain separate services that people add together themselves?
It's a big question. I think that's obviously front and center in people's minds, and I think that sort of speaks to panel-based measurement and the value of that looking, I think, across the whole market. But the granularity that is offered by, I think, OEM data also can't be ignored, and the opportunities that that brings for brands and advertisers. So for me, it's complementary. I think that, from a philosophical standpoint, the team at LG Ad Solutions is not in the business of creating yet another walled garden. I think that, some of the partnerships that we've gone into over in the States have demonstrated that we have a, that we're open to collaboration with other entities for the betterment of, overall measurement and outcomes for brands and advertisers. We'll be seeking out those conversations, I think, over in Europe as well to see where there can be collaboration to, I guess, bring the market forward. But of course, we're talking about some pretty nuanced dynamics as well. So I wouldn't want to go too far with that yet today.
Understandable. And also, we don't want to preempt your paper too much because this is designed to encourage people to turn up on the Thursday afternoon in the session that Brian Jacobs is hosting to hear more about connected TV. And there'll be other papers talking about the opportunities as well. So it's definitely going to be a big focus for us over in Nice. In the meantime, thanks for joining us today, Ed.
Thanks so much, Rich. Cheers.